You remember the first time you met Lyndon Johnson?
Yeah, Marvin told me, he said, until he gets to know you, don't crowd him. So I stayed way in the background. Perhaps the first time I had a real conversation with him, I had been there maybe a month. The way our White House was configured, you had the Oval Office, you had the little office off the Oval Office that was sort of the president's private study. Then you had the Chief of Staff's office, Marvin Watson's office. Then you had Jack Valenti's office. Then you had an office where two or three of us were in that office, one of the secretaries and myself. I guess there were two of us at that time. And then you had a speechwriter at the other end. That was the West Wing, from the Oval Office to the end of the West Wing. I was in that third office over. But I was in Marvin's office, and I should backtrack. The president had six special assistants, which were the top rung, had the same salaries as cabinet officers. To those special assistants, which was the national security advisor, the press secretary, the appointments secretary, the domestic legal counsel, etc., on their phones was the president's direct line. You know, it rang continuously. It didn't ring intermittently. It rang continuously until someone picked it up. And it was louder than all the other rings. So when that phone rang, you picked it up, yes, sir. Well, I was in the office when the president was calling Marvin. Jack Valenti was in there also. All I heard was this end of the conversation was, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, will do, sir, yes, sir. And they hung up the phone. And remember, I'm 25 years old. I said, you guys have to speak up to the president. You can't be yes men. Well, in any event, about a month later, Marvin calls me and said, can you come into my office? I said, yeah. And he said, the president wants to talk to you. And so one of my responsibilities was to have the schedule made up that I would give to the press secretary, who would then publish it for the press briefing for the next day's president's schedule, at least the public schedule. And so I think it was every Wednesday, we had a congressional breakfast where the leadership of Congress met with the president for breakfast. Unbeknownst to me, the president had canceled the breakfast that particular week because he was having some games with Everett Dirksen or Mike Mansfield or one of them, and he wanted to cancel the breakfast. He told Larry O'Brien, but Larry O'Brien forgot to tell me. So I'm issuing the next day's schedule, and there it is. The president's having breakfast with congressional leadership, which the press secretary gives out. Well, President Johnson, he was a nut for news. And he had two AP and UP A wires in the Oval Office. Between appointments, he would go and read what was coming in off the wires. So he read the president's schedule and hit the fan, called the press secretary, said, what did you do? He said, well, Jim Jones gave it to me. So he then calls Marvin and says, get Jim Jones. So I come in Marvin's office just perky. The president wants to talk to me and get on the phone. Yes, sir. That's the stupidest thing that I've ever heard. And I, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. Marvin brought Jack Valenti in to listen to this. And the final thing, he says, well, it sounds to me like you were scratching your ass when you should have been scratching your head. I said, yes, sir. So they had great fun with payback. That was my first real conversation with the president. I wouldn't call it a conversation.
The president understood then that you hadn't gotten the word.
Oh, I'm sure.
And couldn't have blamed you entirely.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't have lasted.
Right. His size, he was so tall, his demeanor, he was overpowering in person.
Yeah. He had a strong, strong presence. He was 6'4". He weighed 230 pounds, except when he put us all on his diet. And he'd lose a pound or two, but he was a big, big fellow.